Welcome back, everybody, to another deep dive. This time, we're going to be talking about something we all have in common, right? Childhood games. I mean, remember like those epic Risk battles, the ruthless Monopoly takeovers, or those Catan negotiations? I mean, those could rival a UN summit. Well, today we're going to be going beyond the fun and games. We're going to be exploring how those seemingly simple pastimes might have shaped how we see the world as adults. Our guide for this pretty fascinating journey is The World as a Game: How Childhood Shapes Our Global View.
It's a fascinating concept. It really is. We often just dismiss childhood games as just, fun and games. But they can be a really powerful tool. And they can influence how we perceive everything from geography to ownership and even conflict and diplomacy.
I mean, think about Risk. That was like our first taste of geopolitics. Those colorful continents divided by borders, all just waiting to be conquered. You're plotting your moves, forming alliances, and basically running the world all from your living room floor.
From your living room floor. That's precisely what's so interesting about these games. They act as our first maps of the world. They simplify complex systems into something our young brains can grasp. You learn early on that, controlling territory equals power. And it's a concept that, that can stick with us long after we've packed away the game board.
But it makes you wonder, though, I mean, how much of that simplified game logic do we carry with us into adulthood? Like, do those Risk campaigns make us more likely to see the world as just this giant game of conquest? Or does Monopoly, with its emphasis on property ownership, shape how we view wealth and economic inequality?
Those are great questions. And the book dives deep into those very implications. For example, it argues that those early maps that we get from games can sometimes lead to oversimplification. We might focus on the clear-cut borders, the strategic maneuvers, while overlooking the cultural richness, the historical complexities, and, well, the human cost of real-world conflict.
So it's like we're getting a crash course in strategy, but kind of missing out on the empathy and the nuanced understanding needed to navigate the real world's complexities.
Precisely. And that's where the illusion of control comes into play. Remember those moments in games when you felt like a strategic genius? Totally in command of the situation? Well, that feeling, it can be incredibly powerful, especially in childhood, when so much of life feels beyond our grasp.
Oh, I totally get that. Like when you're on a winning streak in Monopoly and you're convinced your next move is gonna bankrupt everybody at the table, it's exhilarating.
It is. But the book cautions us about this illusion of control. It's a cognitive bias where we tend to overestimate our ability to influence outcomes, often based on our success in games. And this bias can stick with us into adulthood, potentially making us more susceptible to risk-taking behavior or feeling overly confident in our ability to control situations that are inherently unpredictable.
It's like those games give us this false sense of security, making us think we've got it all figured out, when in reality, life can throw some pretty unexpected curveballs.
It definitely can.
For sure.
And speaking of unexpected twists and turns, let's talk about how games approach winning and losing. Think about it. Most childhood games are pretty black and white. You either win or you lose. There's not much room for nuance or compromise.
Yeah, you're either the reigning champion of Candyland or you're stuck in the molasses swamp of defeat.
And while that binary system can be exciting and motivating, in the context of a game, the book raises some interesting questions about how this early exposure to clear-cut winners and losers might shape our adult mindsets.
Do you mean like how we approach competition at work
Yeah.
or even in our relationships?
Exactly.
Does that win at all costs mentality kind of seep into those areas of our lives?
It's certainly a possibility. The book argues that this early exposure to binary competition can make us more likely to see things in black and white, mm-hmm. maybe even fostering an us versus them mentality.
Yeah.
Now, this isn't to say that competition is inherently bad.
Right.
It can teach us resilience,
right.
strategic thinking, and the importance of pushing ourselves.
Yeah.
But the key, as the book suggests, is to recognize that real life
yeah.
is rarely a zero-sum game.
So instead of always focusing on coming out on top, mm-hmm. maybe we should be looking for solutions that benefit everyone involved.
That's a great way to put it.
Yeah.
It's about recognizing the value of collaboration.
Right.
Compromise.
Yeah.
And finding win-win solutions whenever possible.
For sure.
And speaking of winning, remember those intense battles over territory in games like Risk and Monopoly?
Oh, yeah.
Those games really drilled in the concept of ownership.
Yeah.
Making us believe that controlling space equals power and success.
Right. Yeah, it's funny how, like, those seemingly innocent actions in games,
yeah.
like snatching up properties
right,
yeah. or claiming entire continents,
yep.
can actually reflect some pretty deep-seated ideas yeah. about ownership and control.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, think about it. How many times have you seen a friendship tested over a heated game of Monopoly?
It's true. Those games, they can bring out our competitive instincts.
Yeah.
But what's fascinating is how these early experiences with territory and ownership mm-hmm. might influence our views on real-world issues.
Okay.
Think about those fiercely guarded borders we see on a Risk board.
Yeah.
Do those simplified representations shape how we perceive
right.
national boundaries
yeah.
and the complexities of, you know, immigration or international relations?
It's definitely something to ponder. And it makes you wonder about those other big concepts that games simplify,
yeah.
like war and diplomacy. I mean, in Risk,
right.
you can declare war with a simple roll of the dice.
Oh, yeah.
Completely detaching the action
right.
from, like, the devastating reality of armed conflict.
That's a crucial point. The book raises the risk of oversimplification.
Okay.
While games can be a fun and engaging way to learn about strategy and decision making,
right.
they often leave out the human cost,
yeah.
the cultural context,
mm-hmm.
and the historical complexities that shape real world conflicts.
So are we saying that playing Risk might actually make war seem more game-like and less horrific than it truly is?
It's a possibility the book explores. It argues that this simplification,
okay.
while necessary to make games playable,
right.
can lead to a skewed perception of conflict,
okay.
where victory is the ultimate goal.
Right.
And the human consequences are minimized
yeah.
or overlooked entirely.
This makes me think about how games often portray diplomacy as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's usually reduced to simple negotiations or
right.
forming alliances.
Yeah.
Without really delving into the nuances of cultural differences,
mm-hmm.
historical tensions,
yeah.
or like the intricate web of international relations.
Right. Games often present like a sanitized version of diplomacy.
Yeah.
Where a handshake or a well-timed trade deal
right.
can resolve complex geopolitical issues.
Exactly.
But in the real world,
yeah.
things are rarely that straightforward.
It's like we're getting a crash course in strategy, but missing out on the empathy
yeah.
and critical thinking skills needed to truly understand the human impact of conflict and the complexities of finding peaceful solutions.
And that's why it's so important to be aware of these limitations.
Right, right.
To recognize that real-world situations are rarely as clear-cut or predictable
yeah.
as those we encounter on a game board.
It's like we need to level up our thinking, so to speak.
Yeah, yeah.
Going beyond those simplified game mechanics
mm-hmm.
to engage with the messiness and nuances of real-world issues.
Exactly. And speaking of messy and nuanced,
okay.
let's talk about those juicy social dynamics that games so often highlight.
Okay.
Alliances and betrayals.
Yeah.
Remember those epic Catan negotiations where you're trying to strike a deal?
Right.
While secretly plotting to undermine your opponents?
Oh, I've definitely been on both sides of those Catan betrayals.
Right.
It's amazing how quickly those friendly negotiations can
yeah.
turn into a cutthroat battle for resources and victory points.
It's all part of the game.
Right.
But what's really fascinating is how those early experiences with alliances and betrayals
mm-hmm.
might shape our views on trust and cooperation in our adult lives.
Okay.
Think about those moments when you've been let down by a friend or colleague.
Yeah.
Do those experiences make you more cautious about trusting others?
It's definitely something to think about. I mean, have you ever felt like those intense game night betrayals
yeah.
made you more guarded in your real life relationships?
It certainly made me more aware of the complexities of human motivation.
All right.
And the fact that, you know, not everyone plays by the same rules, both in games and in life.
Yeah, it's like those games teach us that trust is a valuable commodity, but one that can be easily broken, sometimes with dramatic consequences.
And while those betrayals might sting in the moment, they can also be valuable learning experiences.
Yeah.
They teach us to be more discerning about who we trust.
Oh,
to set healthy boundaries,
yeah.
And to recognize that sometimes even the closest alliances can shift in unexpected ways.
Okay, so we've been talking a lot about the potential downsides of those simplified game worlds, but what about the positives?
Right.
I mean, games can also be incredibly creative and imaginative spaces, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, remember those epic make-believe adventures we used to have with our toys and games?
And that imaginative play is so crucial for development.
Right.
The book highlights how games, while providing a set of rules and structures, also spark our creativity, allowing us to create stories, characters, and entire worlds beyond the confines of the game board.
It's like those games provide the framework, but our imaginations take it from there.
Exactly.
Adding depth, complexity, and a whole lot of fun.
Yep.
I remember turning those little Monopoly houses into elaborate castles
and
envisioning epic battles for control of the board.
That's a great example of how imaginative play enriches our understanding of the world.
Yeah.
It allows us to explore different perspectives, practice social skills, and develop empathy, all while having a blast.
It's like those games teach us to think outside the box, to push the boundaries of what's possible, and to see the world through a lens of creativity and wonder.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And speaking of seeing the world differently,
okay,
let's talk about how our perspectives can shift as we get older.
Okay.
The book suggests that revisiting those childhood games as adults can offer both nostalgia and some fascinating insights into how our thinking has evolved.
It's like looking back at those old photo albums and realizing how much you've grown and changed since then.
Right.
Except in this case, we're revisiting those game boards and rule books.
Yeah.
Noticing the simplifications and biases we once accepted as truth.
It's a powerful exercise in self-awareness.
Right.
You might pick up that old Monopoly board and suddenly realize how much emphasis it places on accumulating wealth.
Right.
Maybe questioning whether that's truly the path to happiness and fulfillment.
Mm-hmm.
Or you might revisit a war-themed game and notice how it glorifies victory while downplaying the devastating consequences of conflict.
So if we were to play those childhood games today, would we see them in a new light? Would we question those rules and assumptions we once took for granted?
It's definitely worth considering.
Yeah.
Because that kind of reflection can help us understand how our own values and beliefs have evolved over time.
Okay.
Allowing us to separate those ingrained game-based assumptions from our own nuanced real-world perspectives.
It's like we're upgrading our mental software, so to speak, recognizing the limitations of those early game-based maps and embracing the complexity and ambiguity of real-life experiences.
And speaking of upgrades, let's talk about how technology has transformed the world of games.
Yeah.
And potentially our own worldview. I mean, the digital frontier is vast.
Right.
And it's shaping a whole new generation's understanding of everything from global cooperation to social interaction.
Yeah, it's amazing how video games and online platforms
have expanded the scope of what we can learn and experience through games.
Absolutely.
You can collaborate with people from all over the world, tackle complex challenges, and even explore different cultures and identities, all from the comfort of your own home.
It's truly remarkable. And the book explores both the positive and potential drawbacks of this digital shift.
Okay.
On the one hand, these digital worlds can foster empathy, problem-solving skills, and a sense of global citizenship.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, there's the risk of detachment from the real world, the potential for addiction, and the challenges of navigating online social dynamics.
It's like those digital games offer a whole new set of benefits and challenges, and it's up to us to find a healthy balance between those virtual experiences and the tangible, messy realities of our offline lives.
Exactly. It's about using those digital tools wisely.
Harnessing their power for learning, connection, and growth, while also staying grounded in the real world and its complexities.
Okay, so we've covered a lot of ground here.
Yeah. We have.
From the power of simplified maps
yeah.
to the complexities of conflict,
right.
the beauty of imagination, mm-hmm. and the ever-evolving landscape of digital gaming.
Yeah.
It's a lot to process.
It is.
But ultimately, it all comes down to this.
Mm-hmm.
How do we bridge the gap between those game-based lessons
right.
and the real world's messy realities?
Yeah.
How do we take those strategic thinking skills, that adaptability,
yeah.
that problem-solving prowess we've honed in games,
okay.
and apply them effectively in our everyday lives?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it's the focus of the book's final chapter.
Okay.
It argues that the key is finding a balance.
Right.
Embracing the structure and clarity that games provide,
mm-hmm.
while also being open to the ambiguity, mm-hmm. the emotional nuances,
yeah.
and the often unpredictable nature of real-life situations.
So it's not about throwing out those game-learned strategies altogether,
right.
but rather refining them,
yeah.
adapting them, huh. and integrating them with a deeper understanding of human nature,
yeah.
empathy, mm. and the complexities of the world around us.
You got it. And speaking of the real world and its complexities.
Okay.
Let's take a quick break and come back for the final part of our deep dive.
Okay.
Where we'll synthesize all these fascinating insights.
Okay.
And explore what it all means for how we navigate this crazy, amazing game we call life.
Okay. So we're back for the final part of our deep dive into the world as a game.
Yes, we are.
You know, we've uncovered a lot of fascinating insights about yeah. how those childhood pastimes might still be influencing our adult perceptions. Everything from, you know, the simplified maps of Risk to those cutthroat Catan negotiations.
So, yeah.
But now, let's bring it all together. I mean, what does all this mean for us as we navigate this
right.
complex and often unpredictable world?
Well, the book doesn't leave us hanging.
Okay.
It offers this message of empowerment.
Okay.
Reminding us that while those early game-based experiences can shape our thinking,
right.
they don't define us. We have the agency to recognize those ingrained patterns.
Right, right.
Challenge those assumptions and ultimately create our own unique path in the world.
It's like we're graduating from those simplified game boards
yeah.
to the vast open world of real life.
Right.
Where the rules are less defined, the stakes are higher, and the possibilities are endless.
Exactly. The book encourages us to see the world as a complex, ever-changing game.
Right.
But one where we have the power to make choices,
mm-hmm.
to learn from our experiences and shape our own destinies. It's about taking those game-learned skills.
Okay.
The strategic thinking,
yeah.
the adaptability,
right.
that problem-solving prowess,
mm-hmm.
and applying them thoughtfully to real-world challenges.
Okay.
But with a healthy dose of empathy.
Right.
Critical thinking. And awareness of those potential biases we've been discussing.
So it's not about abandoning those strategic skills altogether,
right.
but rather integrating them with a deeper understanding of human nature, historical yeah. context,
mm-hmm.
and the nuanced realities of the world around us.
Precisely. The book challenges us to think critically about how those early game-based experiences
okay.
might still be influencing our perception.
Right.
Encouraging us to step outside those predefined boxes
mm-hmm.
and embrace the messiness,
yeah.
the ambiguity, mm. and the often unpredictable nature of real life.
It's like we're taking those game-learned strategies and upgrading them for real-world application.
Yeah.
Recognizing that sometimes, you know, collaboration trumps competition,
mm-hmm.
that win-win solutions are often possible.
Right.
And that true success lies in, you know, learning, growing, and connecting with others in meaningful ways.
Well said. And, you know, it's interesting to think about how this all connects back to the idea of the world as a game.
Right.
Because while games can provide valuable lessons and tools for mm-hmm. navigating life,
yeah.
they're ultimately just a starting point.
Right.
It's up to us to take those insights,
yeah.
apply them thoughtfully,
mm-hmm.
and create something meaningful,
mm-hmm.
something real
yeah.
in this world we share.
So as we wrap up our deep dive into the world as a game,
mm-hmm.
what's the key takeaway you hope our listener walks away with?
I hope they feel empowered to recognize the influence of those early game-based experiences
mm-hmm.
while also embracing the complexity and possibilities of the real world.
Mm-hmm.
It's about seeing those game-learned skills as a foundation
right.
upon which to build a more nuanced, empathetic, beautiful. And ultimately fulfilling approach to life.
Beautifully put. And remember, dear listener, as you navigate the complexities of life,
yes.
embrace those game-learned skills, but don't be afraid to step outside the box. Right.
Challenge the rules and find your own unique path in this amazing, ever-evolving world.
That's right.
We hope this deep dive has provided some food for thought, perhaps even inspiring you to revisit those childhood games with a fresh perspective and a newfound appreciation for how those seemingly simple pastimes might have shaped the way you see the world today.
Until next time, keep playing, keep exploring, and keep evolving.